Morning, Calvary Chapel. Any visitors for the first time? Oh, my son, he's visiting a little. I don't just want to welcome him, I also welcome to Alabel on the keyboard. She did famously. Congratulations, that was very good. About a month or so ago, I saw Jan Hendrik walking in, and he was about a foot taller, and his chest was broad as his baby got born. So I haven't welcomed them yet, but I see Joshua. I think he went outside. He also is suffering the same symptoms. They are with a baby of a week old. Congratulations to them. And then Hannes and Anram also have a two-day-old grandson that was born 2 days ago. Yeah. So congratulations to everybody as the church is growing. Yeah. So Jeff today is filling in Somerset West, preaching out there, and he asked me to preach today. And so just want to ask, let's pray together. Our Father God in heaven, we want to worship you, Lord. We want to dedicate this time to you, Lord. And we want to pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, that what we learn and hear here will be an extension, Lord, that will flow into the rest of the week, Lord. I want to come and pray, Lord, that your words will be spoken and only your words. Yeah, Lord, that attention will be drawn to you, and that faith will arise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good, so you can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to be bold today and do the whole chapter. We're going to skip over the first couple of lines. We're just going to start in verse 1 and then we'll go further. But at first I want to say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is close. It is like right here. We are gathered here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, so we welcome not just Alabel and the babies, but we're also welcoming the Holy Spirit here with us. And we know that Jesus is here with us, and we pray that he ministers to us. So Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, his brother John, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go amongst the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey, or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at that house until you leave. That worthy person, in some translation, is a man of peace. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above the teacher, nor the servant above his master. It is enough for a student to be like their teacher, and the servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of the household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ears, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. And this is the word of the Lord. It's a mouthful. But it is an amazing, amazing text. It is extremely practical for ways in which we as individuals can evangelize. And it is my prayer, and we have been praying that each one of you will get one thing that you can take out today during this week. I'm going to say something more about Christian's prayer before and about Everest chirping in. They never give an evangelist a mic. It's a mistake. We'll give somebody else the microphone next time. Okay. But seeing the way that the Spirit works there, okay. The Spirit of God is moving and He's present. Okay. So if you've got one note, take one note out and make your note for this week, because I believe it's coming. If you've got a notebook, please put it down. Or if you just want to send yourself an email from your phone, you're also welcome to do that. I believe that the Lord's going to give you something to work with. All right, so probably more the guys than the girls, but who of you can identify with the following? Trian, drie geleedere, beweeg! By show of hands. Okay, we've got a couple, okay? Or line up in ranks of three, okay, move. I was a regimental instructor in the Air Force many years ago, and amazing experience. But what I realized during that time is that something happens in your mind. Okay, when you are trained for war, okay, there's an activation that comes. There's a call to action that comes. Hein spoke to the men and the men's group and the other day about intentionality, a call to action. And I believe that this is what Jesus is also doing in this section. It's a call to action, a rise up as children of God. Okay. It's a call not just to be with Jesus one day, but to be with him every moment of every day. Amen. The Spirit of God is mighty, it is powerful, it is transforming, and it is busy moving, and it's calling us to join with him into action, to walk with him. James 1 verse 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self." Okay? But doers of the word, we want to be there, and that's why it's important that you grab what the Lord tells you today. The Spirit of the Lord is active. He's living and he's active. And he's speaking to his body. Okay? We're his body. Okay? This morning we saw an example. I'm busy preaching this text. Christian comes up and he's got this call to action. Okay? That person that he asked you to think about. Okay? God is sending you to that person because there'll be a next person and a next person and a next person. Okay? There are groups to be influenced. In the same way that God put the Spirit, the message in my heart and put the same message in his heart and gave Everest the same message, he is busy in you. The message that he's giving you is in preparation for somebody else to receive it. Okay. And in this passage, we're going to see how Jesus is interested in building the faith of his children. He's calling you to stand in faith and recognize that Emmanuel is with you. Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the present God. And he's with you. And he'll be going with you during this this week. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." And he is the one that's busy developing the ability. And he's busy putting up the circumstances, like he did for these disciples, so that you'll be ready to encounter whoever and whatever you will come across during this during the week. So let's dive into it. Okay, faith. Think faith. We want to see and think about God. Okay, that God will be the one directing us. Think faith. Whole time, when we're busy with this thing, think faith. Okay, verse 1. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and heal every disease and sickness. When we are busy with discipleship, we said it a couple of times. There are only two goals, okay? Fathers, two goals when you think about faith with your children, okay? Two goals. The one is you want to establish identity, okay? Who are you and who are your children, members of your household? Who are they in Christ? Okay? They are kings, priests, and prophets, okay? And when we speak about getting authority, okay, it's grounded in the fact that you are a king, you are a queen, you are meant to rule, you are called to establish the kingdom of God now. Okay, and we're not speaking about kingdom now theology, but establishing the will of God now. Okay, you are called to that, establish identity. And the second thing, dads, that you want to establish in the lives of your families is you want to call out life purpose. Okay, why did God make you? Okay, He established you as a queen. Okay. Now, why did he make you? And he made you to love those around you. To love those around you in any way that he can. He will establish some as doctors, and he will establish some as carpenters, and he will establish some as electricians and whatever. Okay, but wherever you are, you're called to love with Jesus. He's already busy with it. But you need to know that he's there and he's working with you. So authority is an amazing thing. When you think about spiritual warfare, you must think about authority. Okay? You are a king, you must wear that thing. Okay? You are a king. Okay, you cannot go into war without authority. And that is what God is calling us to. He gives you authority. So in the first place, you must know that you have authority, because it's given to you by God. But more important than that, you must know where the authority comes from. Okay? Your authority lies in Christ that sent you. Okay? He is the ultimate authority. And he calls you and he sends you, okay, to reach the lost around you with authority. I'm always reminded about a traffic officer. Okay? You can get some pretty skinny traffic officers, man. And they'll step up in the road. They used to wear these white gloves and stand in the road. Okay, and you can have like a super big Interlink truck coming bearing down on this guy. But when he puts his hand up, that truck pulls over. Why is that? Is that guy like Superman? Okay. No. It's because behind the glove, there is authority. There is authority of government, okay, that gives the instruction. And so much more with God. Okay? When we move into this role as a king, you as a ruling king, okay, that your authority lies within Christ, and it is given. It's given to you. Okay. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus says, so first, this instruction that we just read, that is to his 12. But when we get to Matthew 28, verse 18, his disciples are around him. There's 100-odd around him. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples. So as disciples of Christ, as disciple makers of Christ, okay, the authority of Christ is on you to go and do his work. Verse 5. So, man, I'm talking a lot. So this passage, and one of the reasons why it makes me so excited, is it kind of serves as a blueprint of how we can go about to evangelize. Okay? So if you have thought about evangelism and the need to reach somebody else, okay, Jesus is giving us a how-to here. So let's go to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go amongst the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. So why Israel? Okay, why not go to the Samaritans? If you speak to any missionary, I was one for 12 years in Mozambique. You spend at least your first year, and you're studying language, and you're studying culture. You're there for 3 years, and you're still discovering all kinds of nitty-gritties about how-tos and why men walk in front, women walk behind, why it's like a maze out there. Okay? But Jesus wanted to develop his disciples and prepare them to bring this message. And he knew they're going to be out for a short time, and then they're going to come back. Okay, he himself was going to Nazareth, and then he was going to meet up with him later. So they have a short time. So don't get bogged down with what you don't know, cultures that you don't know. But start with what is close. Start with what you know. Start with your own household. Okay, the people that your neighbor, okay, your family members, start with them. You know the questions that are inside of them. Okay, the person that you're busy working with, That person you thought of when Christian asked the question. Start with that person. Don't think about, I'm going to evangelize like the lost people in the middle of Africa or somewhere. Okay? No, that's like a fairy tale dream, and it's something you will never get to. If you don't start at home and bring the message you have now, okay, you are not going to go. So be faithful to that thing. Okay. Right, keep it closed. The lost sheep. See the heart of Jesus here. Okay. He knows that they are like sheep gone astray. They're wandering in the wilderness. They need to be round up. Okay. They are lost. And we have the privilege of going out and finding them. Good. Verse 7. And you go. Rewind. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons freely you have received, freely give. Hebrews 11 verse 6, this verse makes me think of that. The kingdom of heaven is near. Hebrews 11 says, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. He is right here. Okay. The kingdom of heaven is near. So you come to somebody, a stranger. Okay. Your message to that person is, the kingdom of heaven is near. Okay. The kingdom of heaven is near. How's that person going to know that? How's that person going to know that you believe the kingdom of heaven is near?
I don't know.
Okay. Because it's different in every circumstances. Okay. But maybe it's the fact that you are holy about what you are busy with. Okay, you're not going to cheat. You're not going to lie. You're not going to manipulate the situation or whatever. But God, you live in the presence of God. God Almighty, righteous, holy, loving. He is right there. It might be like a random intro. Yo, dude, do you know the kingdom of heaven is near? And that sounds like a pretty interesting conversation starter. Okay, how's that guy going to respond? Okay. But we want to speak about our imminent, our present God. And I can ask myself, how am I going to make this person understand that God is alive and he's close? God is alive and he's close. He wants to know you. He wants to be close to you. Heal the sick. No, rewind. If I live and I act faithfully to this present God, okay, the King, without faith it is impossible to please God, because he that would like to approach God must believe that he is. So I know that. I accept that by faith. Okay, I maybe go on my knees before, because I realize I can't stand before a holy God. And I prepare my heart before the Lord. I maybe do this in the morning when I have my quiet time, and with that idea that I'm in the presence of God, I'm moving into this day in the presence of a living God. Okay, I'm going with that. As I'm holding on to this power of the present God, it's then when I can realize that his power is with me, and I can pray for the sick. I can heal the leper. I can raise the dead. There is nothing that's impossible, because it's not about me. It's about the one that is right there with me. And nothing is impossible for him. the kingdom of heaven is near. And as we go, we need to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. The past, let's say, 2-3 weeks, I've been blessed with a bad knee. But it's been so encouraging to me having this bad knee. Painful, and I couldn't sleep many times because there were so many people that just took the opportunity and they came to me and they said, "Can I pray for you for your knee?" And I thought that was just so cool, okay? Because they're putting faith in Lord for an outcome to come. And they had the liberty. I don't know if it is because who I am or what, but faith was stirred up inside of them and they could pray for me. And in the same way, there are people with problems around you every day. Can I have an amen on that? Amen. Okay. Every person has got some issue that they're going through. Okay? And some of them will share some of the problems with you that they won't share with somebody else. Okay? That's your door. Okay? Can I pray with you about this? Don't have to explain or anything. Just say, "Can I pray with you about this?" And you leave it in the hands of the Lord. Use those. These opportunities come our way. You don't have to go and look far from them. If somebody brings a problem to you, irrespective of what the problem is, okay, pray for that person. Can you see, as Jesus stirs up faith here, he's not leaving anything off the table. Everything goes, okay? Because he wants to touch people and he wants his disciples to walk in faith without excluding anything. They are going with God and God can, okay? Okay, God is and he's present. There's a mindset. The mindset is go. Okay, whoever you are, you will go. It's so possible to be in the house with your wife and be absent. Okay, can I show you? Okay. The moment I take this or I switch the television on or whatever, I'm there. I'm not with her. Okay. So the mindset is go. Okay, go to the people around you. Connect with the people. Don't be stuck. Don't in yourself. Okay. God. Second thing is God is with you. He is with you. This is his work that we're doing. God is with you. Minister, you are not blessed for yourself. You are blessed for those around you. We've got a bunch of healthy people with abilities and energy and whatever. You are blessed to be a blessing. Go serve those around you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible as you go. But very important, it's not for a reward. You're not here to go and... It's not reciprocity, okay? I'm giving you this, okay? And you're going to give me something in return. It was a very hard lesson for me once. I was in Mozambique. I came back. I was giving some feedback, and the Lord moved in an incredible way. And as I'm busy looking over the people, I saw, I got them. I've got their attention. Okay. And in that moment, Satan shifted my focus from their hearts to their wallets. And I started saying, so the money that we could distribute, or the money that you blessed me with, okay, we used in these ways. That's wrong. Okay? And our focus is on God, not on what we can get from him. So be careful of your own spirit, your own heart that is looking for acceptance, looking for reward. Sometimes you just want to be known as a good person. Gee, she speaks about God and stuff. Eh? She must be a good person. Eh? Don't go for that. Just give it to the Lord. It's all for his glory. Verse 9. Do not get any gold or silver or copper or take to take with you in your belt. No bag for the journey, or extra shirt, or sandals, or staff. For the worker is worth his keep. Remember, I said the reason for this first journey and the way in which Jesus is sending them is to build faith. Okay? Who will provide? God will provide. Okay? Whatever you need, God will provide. And you can know that. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because he that would like to come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And nothing is excluded from that reward. Nothing. Nothing is excluded from that reward. He will provide. Whatever the need is, God is bigger than that need. But faith requires me to understand that he is the source of that. Nothing else. I'm not going to work for it. Okay? You can think about what are the issues that he's addressing here. Gold and silver, it's easy to trust. Okay? In work, if we have an issue, how do we solve this issue? I chuck money at it. Okay? And the money solves the problem. But in the world, in faith, I have to go to God to answer that problem. Okay? It's a different kind of economy. He is the provider. And nothing is excluded from him. When I just got saved, I took a whole bunch of people up to Zambia and as students. And this old lady gave us her VW bus. And we hooked that with a trailer and we had a Jetta. Can we packed that combi full of kids and the Jetta full of kids, and we left Port Elizabeth. And we were going to Lusaka and beyond. So 8,000 Ks round trip. And we were about 100 Ks out of Port Elizabeth, and we realized this combi is not going to pull the trailer that we have. Okay. Anyway, no problem. God send us. Let's hook off the trailer and put it on the Jetta. Okay. Right, off we went. Did not go quickly. That combi could only do 80 k's an hour, okay, all the way. And it did have a couple of splatters on the way. But anyway, God really blessed and moved, and everybody grew in that. And on our way back, okay, we were about 50 k's out of Lusaka, and there was this long straight road running down, and then it went up on the other side. You could see probably 2 kilometers. Okay, and on the hill on the other side, there was a traffic or a roadblock. And anyway, we're going, and about halfway down this hill, the combi dies. Okay, so we're going down, and we stop at the bottom. How's this going to look? Okay, the cop's looking at us, and got everybody together. We prayed, and I didn't even go out to look at the engine. There wasn't any smoke or anything. I know nothing about mechanics. And I turned the key and it started. And we went. We had a bit of a funny explanation to the police officer. But we drove from there all the way down. Anyway, we got down, gave the combi to the Tani. A week later, there were some guys from the Dulos. Borrowed the combi. They drove 2 kilometers to town. And when they wanted to start the combi in town, it was dead. It was like dead, didn't do anything. Towed the combi to the mechanic. He opens up the engine, and he stands there. He says, there's no way. There's no way that this combi could be here. It should have died 4,000 kilometers ago. Why did he use 4,000? I mean, is there like a caliper or something you can check the 4,000? And we worked out it was just outside of Lusaka. Okay. So God can do anything, anything. Nothing is excluded from him. Okay. There is no distance. There is nothing that he can't breach. Our problem with gold and silver that we have is that we trust them, we put our faith in them, and we hang on to them for security. They are the ones that provide for us. But the righteous shall live by faith. They shall put their trust in the Lord, because the Lord is real and he's close. And in the same,
I love biographies. I love missionary biographies.
And you can read about stories about the Lord providing food and coats and school fees and earrings and transport. And you can go off the list, hotel accommodation. And it was just time, how God, time for certain. There's nothing that is impossible with God. But for that, we need to look at him and know that we are busy moving with him. He's busy doing something, and I should just fall in step with him. Verse 11. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person. Remember, I said a person of peace, a man of peace. Okay? And stay at their house until you leave. So, this work of evangelization, of telling the world about Jesus. Whose work is that? It's not yours, okay? It is God's. This is God's work. You are not inviting him to come along on this journey to go and preach to the lost. He's already there. He's already busy with it. He's inviting you to join him on it. And in order to do that, he's preparing people for you. He has already put somebody at your work. He has already put somebody at the next client that you're probably going to see, or the next environment that you're going in. He is already placing people there, preparing the way for you. And you can, with expectation, get there and see, what has the Lord been doing? Can you see the Lord is stirring faith? I'm not going to look to my silver. I'm not going to look to any way in which I can get security or certainty. The only certainty that I want is that God is there. And I'm going to encounter him, and he will provide, because he's faithful to his word. Right. So as you go there, God often prepares a person. A person that you can join with. So think about at school, maybe there's somebody in your class that you can join with and start thinking about, or at work. Who is that person? Maybe this person, not necessarily a believer, but it's somebody that's got your back. He will look after you. Okay? He will help you and maybe cover you. There's a funny story, I don't know if you know Salvation Army Booth. It was the freaking Wild West in 1820s, 1850s, in the middle of London. The whole of London was an absolute, almost a shebeen. They were just drinking. Alcoholism was a massive problem for them. And he was trying to spread the gospel, and people would throw him with glass bottles and with rubbish off the street. It was terrible. Okay, and then God raised up a man by the name of Peter Monk. Okay, now Peter Monk was a wild man. Okay, he was huge. He was a boxing prize fighter, and the man could drink like a fish. It was absolutely terrible. Okay, he was a really strong guy. So he went to visit one of Booth's sermons with the idea he's going to sit in the back. Yeah, they're going to have a party. They even had some beer that they took with. They're going to disrupt this thing. But God was speaking to Booth. To Monk. And when Booth opened up his mouth there, it started gripping his mouth, gripping his attention. And God led him to get up, walk up to the stage, and stand behind Booth, and the whole congregation became quiet. Okay? Somebody had William Booth's back. Okay. And God provided him. Okay. It's like a man of peace that God raised up.
And he didn't look like a man of peace at all.
Okay. But he was a man that God raised up for the moment. So look out for who God is busy putting in your life to walk with you. Verse 12. As you enter the home, that home can be translated as household. As you enter the household, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. So you go into this house, you meet this person. Okay. How was the Jewish greeting? Shalom. What does it mean? Peace. Peace to you. Congregation, peace to you. Okay. Does that sound like a good thing to say to somebody? Yeah. Okay. Definitely. We need some more peace. Okay. The stiffness in my shoulders, it needs some peace. Okay. We need peace. Okay. Why peace? Why peace? If I say peace to you, why peace? The opposite of peace is worry and preoccupation. And when I'm worried and preoccupied, I can't hear the word of God. Okay? I can't get to that still, quiet voice that is busy speaking. Because when I get to somebody and I want to tell them about God, I want to say the same thing from the outside that the Holy Spirit is already saying on the inside. Grab that thought, okay? I want to say the same thing from the outside that the Holy Spirit is already saying on the inside. John 5 tells us, Jesus speaking, he says, the Son can do nothing out of himself, but that which he sees the Father doing, he does likewise. So, we get this thing that Jesus is busy ministering to everybody in the whole world, okay? He's calling me to some of them. I must go there and do and say the same thing that he's already busy with. I can join with him. And then, if in that moment I do that, then I can ask whatever, because then it is in the name of Jesus. So, sometimes people will say, man, get away. Or they'll shout at you and they won't accept your word. Okay, and they'll push you away. Okay, they'll call you names and stuff. Is that nice? No, that's not nice. Okay? Because you're feeling rejected. You had this good message for them and now they don't want it. Okay? But Jesus says, don't worry about that. Don't let them steal your peace. Okay? Just shake off the dust. Okay? Don't let it stick on you. Walk away. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the one that sent you. It is not about you. In evangelism, we said this is about faith. Faith means I'm showing the God that is with me. I'm showing to Emmanuel. And if somebody rejects me, they're rejecting him. I am not that important in this message. It is about him. It's about Jesus that needs to be seen. So shake off the dust. Move to the next place. Carry on. Verse 15. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable in Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. You don't have to judge. You don't have to judge the person that rejects the message. It is not your place. You are not called for that. You're only called to bring the message. Okay? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. If they say whatever, you can't change them. If you yank out some lofty argument about why Christ would be good for you and why it would be expedient for you to not reject Christ now, but to rather stay with him, you're going to win the argument, but you're going to lose that person. The changing of that heart, that's God's work, not your work. So let God be the judge. But no, that hell and judgment is real. And it's one of the motivations that we have. We must share the gospel. because hell is a reality and will be waiting for those that do not accept Christ. They will be judged, and they will be judged by God. And that is why we should be faithful to what God tells us and walk with the message that he gave us. See, time's caught up with us. Let's finish with verse 16. I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. The wolves out there, they are in the world, and they are looking at what they can devour, at what can they get from you. We think about business. We get together, two people meet each other, and we're thinking, what can I get from you? What's the least I can give back to you? That's business. We're thinking about what's the most that I can get from this situation? And the wolf is never satisfied. He always wants more. So the world sees us coming. We Christians, we want to love them. We want to give them whatever we can.
And they're hungry. They just want as much as we can give.
That's why Jesus says we need to be wise. We need to be wise. Words, therefore be shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. The snakes are extremely afraid of people. Do you know that? It is extremely rare for somebody to step on a snake. The amount of times that people have stepped this far from a snake cannot be numbered without that snake biting them. Because snakes are shrewd. They know how to stay out of the way and be aware of danger. So God warns us about that. Be wise. Understand that there are wolves here. These people are wolves. There's nothing good in them. You cannot expect Christ to be manifested from them because they are wolves. So be wise in the sharing of your gospel, in being close to them. But be innocent as doves. Do not let your heart be defiled, irrespective of how people respond to you. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And just share with him whatever he gives you. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, you are Lord indeed, Lord. And as we prayed in the beginning with Christian, I want to come and pray now, Lord, that you will bring up the faces of the people with whom you want us to share the gospel. The people you want us to encourage. The people you want us to love, Lord. I want to come and pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that next Sunday, this hall will be fuller because some of those people would join us here. Lord, and that we will love them into this room. That we will love them into the kingdom, Lord. And that they will come hungry to get to know you personally more. Not just about you, Lord, but really know you better. I want to ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that you will now pour out your Spirit on each and every one of us in this room. Lord, that you will equip and empower us, Lord, that we can share your message with boldness. And that you will draw your children unto you. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.